How about we do deer license drawings, and then we'll take a break? Unless you want to take a break now. Let's do one more, and then we'll take a break. Deer license drawing.
Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Heffler, Sean Idy with the Game Fish and Parks Licensing Office. I'm here today to talk a little bit about our draws that we run in the for big game stuff. I'm going to go over a little bit on cubing preference and what that has done to the draws, as well as the new combined deer draw that we started this year. So. This picture here was actually sent to me. This was from 1968. And in this picture here, it's kind of a little difficult to see, but they're running the deer draw in Bonhomme County. And so we've come a long way since then. The individual that sent this to me said, I don't know why you have all the computers and stuff that you have, because all you need is an empty coffee can and a tiara to run the deer draw. So before I get into the nuts and bolts of it, I just want to touch base on our pools. So we have preference points within many of our draws, and within those preference points, we have pools. And so statute requires us to set aside 50% of our licenses in every unit for landowner preference, and then we then split our another 50% go to people with two or more years preference that are non-landowners. And so if we have a draw, let's say, for example, paddlefish where there's no landowner preference, then 100% of the tags will go to those people with two or more years preference. And this would be for all of our seasons, all of our deer seasons, antelope, spring turkey, fall turkey, paddlefish, everything but elk, bighorn sheep, and mountain goat. Everything but elk, bighorn, sheep, and mountain goat also fall under this scenario with 2 years preference. So what does this mean? So as an example, let's say Joe has 2 years preference for East River deer. So he's going to fall into that pool of tags that gets for two or more years preference, and so he will get a tag before anybody with 1 year preference gets a tag, or anybody with zero preference gets a tag. On this slide here, as an example, let's say there's 200 tags available in a unit. Half those tags are going to be available for landowners, so the landowners will get 100 tags. And let's say we only have 50 people that put in for landowner preference. So we still have an additional 50 tags that were set aside for the landowners. What happens to those? Those drop down to the next pool. And so those will go to people with the non-landowners with two or more years preference. So all the tags get issued in every unit, even if the landowners don't take their full half. The other thing that happens is that, let's say, again, there's 100 tags available for people with two or more years preference, and there's only 20 people that have that. Once everybody with two or more years preference gets issued a tag, then everybody with 1 year preference I'll try to issue everybody there a tag. If everybody there gets a tag and there's some left over, we'll issue everybody with zero preference a tag in that unit. If everybody with zero preference that applied for that unit gets a tag, then we'll drop down to second choice. If everybody with second choice in that unit has got a tag, now they're held over for the next draw. And so we do that through draw 1, 2, 3, and 4 now. And then finally for deer, when we get to that fifth draw, now they're left over, their first come, first serve. So cubing preference points, how does that work? Because there is a little bit of confusion here. So we'll use Joe again. He's got 2 years preference for East River deer, so he's in that 2-plus preference pool. But when we cube it, we also add our current year's application. So we are going to cube 3, and that brings us to 27. So Joe is in the draw 27 times. Any questions on that, on how the preference works there? So this would be a little bit difficult for maybe some of you to see, but this is kind of a breakdown into an example of what happens when you start cubing preference points. So Joe, with 2 years preference, he went in there 27 times. If you got somebody with 29 years preference, now they're in there 27,000 times. So there's exponentially, your odds go up exponentially as the more preference points that you have. So I'm going to show a few comparisons between, and I chose my years of 2017 and 2019. 2017, we were working on the old system where we were not cubing preference points. 2018 was the first year we cubed. So I'm going to show what would happen this year, our second year of cubing. And just to let you know, we cube for 20 different seasons, 27 different seasons, and 6 different access permits that we issue out. So we use the cubing preference system for all of those. And all of those are affected somehow, or at least have some units that are affected by cubing the preference points. For those units where you either don't need preference to draw a license, or you don't need more than 2 years preference to draw the license, then the whole cubing thing doesn't mean anything. It didn't change from the old system, because everybody with 2 or more was getting a license every year. So here's an example of the Black Hills Annie deer, and I'm comparing 2017 and 2019. So our left column there is our preference year points, and then how many of those people were successful, the number of applications that had zero preference, and then that what that percentage is. And I just want to point out Black Hills Annie deer is a very difficult tag to draw. And so those people that you see on there with 0 and 1 year's preference drawing a tag, those are all landowners or people putting in with landowner preference. And so as an example, in 2017, before we were cubing, if you had 10 years preference, you had about a 10% chance of drawing. In 2019, you had about a 42% chance of drawing a tag if you had 10 years preference. This here is simply just the bar graph of showing the same thing, just a little bit easier to understand. And you can definitely see that shift where our applicants with more years preference, their odds of drawing a tag certainly went up. I'm going to get into elk just a little bit, and I wanted to touch base here too because the elk pools are different. And so for those elk seasons that have landowner preference, we still set aside 50% of the tags in each unit. But then from there on, we break it down so that people with 10 or more years preference, they get 30% of the tags. 2 years preference, they go after 15% of the tags. And zero preference, so everybody that applies is after 5% of the tags. And so here, and Tony touched on it also earlier, if I've got 15 years preference and I'm unsuccessful in that top pool for the 30% of the tags, I get my chance at the 15% of the tags at 2 or more years preference, and I also try to get those 5% of the tags left over in the zero preference pool if I'm still unsuccessful. I keep dropping down. And again, if there's leftover landowner tags, they drop down to the 10-plus pool. And then with Custer State Park, Again, it's a slightly different. Basically, we have a 15 years or more, a 10 years or more, and a zero pool, and they all go after a 1/3 of the tags. So our Black Hills Elk Unit 2 firearm season, that's probably our most highly sought after unit that people apply for. And you can see here between 2017 and 2019, there's certainly been a shift that you can notice on your odds of drawing a tag with any year's preference that you want to look at. And again, those ones with at 1 and 0, those are all landowner tags or landowner preference tags. And you can see this is a highly sought after unit. We had over 8,600 applicants for those. In the end, it's 218 licenses, non-landowner licenses that were out there. So this is Custer Firearms Elk. And so, again, this is the unit Tony was talking about where we had 8 licenses and there we had just about 9,000 applicants. And so when you have a super high demand unit like this, where there is very few tags available, very high demand, it's difficult to see that any change because of cubing preference. It's just you get one person that draws one tag at a low preference and it kind of throws everything off. So, but it is occurring there also. So cubing preference definitely favors applicants with more years preference, much more so than the old system did. But it does not guarantee a license in these highly desirable units. It's the Black Hills, the Custer Elk season, for example. If you went in there and you had your name was in there 30,000 times for preference points, it doesn't mean a whole lot because, if I remember correctly, there was about 35 million preference points in that draw. And so your 30,000 is still just a drop in the bucket, and you still probably have like a percent chance of drawing that tag. So within Custer Elk, we will have way more people that die before they get that license because we're only issuing out 80 a year. What's going to happen in the future with cubing preference is that for those units with moderate demand, it will continue to do what it's doing, taking out those very top-tier people. But when you have a Custer, any elk season, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference in the end. It'll still favor those people with high numbers of preference points, but you still have so many people coming in that the 10 people with 30 years preference versus 100 people with 15 years preference, it's about the same number. Your odds of drawing one of those is drawing the tag is about the same as one of the 30s drawing a tag. So, because we're issuing so few. Any questions on cubing?
Not so much, I'll wait.
Okay. So our combined deer drawing. You've probably seen some of these numbers before. This is right off our web page. And this is just the success rate difference between 2018 and 2019. And as you can see, for almost every season, the overall odds of drawing a tag went up. And the reason for that is because for most seasons, the number of applications went down. So that's pretty simple math right there. This is, in my mind, a fairly important thing to point out here is that in that combined deer draw, our first choice, people that drew buck tags there, we add an additional 983 unique individuals that drew a buck tag in the first draw, first choice. And our non-residents went down, but again, you're talking a fairly small pool, but our resident unique hunters definitely went up. Part of that is due to our reduction in the number of unique hunters that got two buck tags. So that's part of the reason why. Uh, I wanted to touch on this too, and on the special buck, this is just the number of people that were unsuccessful for East River Special Buck and West River Special Buck that ended up drawing a buck tag during in the regular season. So, for example, East River deer, there's 355 people that didn't draw their special buck East River tag, but in the first draw, they ended up drawing a buck tag. So you do have some people that are certainly applying for both. This is just a breakdown comparing 2018 and 2019 again on the number of hunters that got one buck tag, two, three, four, five, and six. We certainly went up in the number of hunters with one tag. 1,265 people. The number of hunters with three, four, and five tags went down. And again, that's because of the fact that they couldn't apply for all those seasons. You're limiting them to two. And so those unique hunters are coming from those 3 to 5 years, or 3 to 5 buck tags, I'm sorry. The other thing that the commission passed was the allowance for youth to get a free preference point if they hadn't had a deer license before, and to also allow youth 15 and under to get a free preference point outside of the draw. And so our 2019 numbers for the purchasing outside of the draw, obviously they can still do that yet, so those numbers aren't finalized. That won't be until mid-December, but it gives kind of a good comparison on that opportunity for the youth and what it actually did for them in drawing a tag. If you look in 2018, we only had 1,700 youth that drew a tag in the first draw, first choice, and this year we had over 2,600. So that's quite a significant jump or bump right there, and that all has to do with that free preference point, or that bonus preference point, as we called it. And then just to kind of wrap up the whole combined draw, this is comparing unique hunters for, this would be all seasons, all draws, for 2018 versus 2019. So this would be draw 1 through 5 and all 8 seasons. And so we had over 1,600 more unique hunters this year in 2019 than we did in 18. We issued out 653 more licenses this year than we did last year, but an interesting caveat to that was we issued out 141 fewer buck tags. So those were, we issued out 800 antlerless, additional antlerless tags in 19 than we did in 18. So that bump that we had of 983, additional buck tags in the first choice for straw, it would actually be slightly higher when you figure in this 141 fewer buck tags. So have an interesting thing there for residents. And then our non-resident, unique non-resident hunters for those combined seasons and draws, there our numbers went down. And if you look at that as a percentage, that's quite a significant percentage drop. And we had basically the same number of tags available. And the last thing that I want to touch on there is for the non-residents is the fact that once we get to our final draw where we tags become first come, first serve, and they pool them, that's when non-residents then are able to pick up East River deer tags. They're available they're allowed to pick up West River tags that were initially set for residents. So basically they are dipping into the resident pool at that time. And that number, we dropped 200 for East River alone. and about 260 tags for West River. So percentage-wise, quite a significant drop in non-resident tags that went to non-residents. So I'll be happy to try to answer any questions you might have.
Commissioner Olson.
Thanks, Sean. That's a great report. We're looking at the, like in the elk, the 50% that go to the landowners. How often is it that that number drops down into the 10-year above preference pool? I mean, is there a lot of units that the landowners don't take advantage of the full 50%?
There are a fair number. Well, for example, basically the landowners do not take their share for any of the archery units. They don't take it for unit 2. And that's unit 2 is probably the only Black Hills Firearm unit that they don't take their full 50%. And most of the prairie units, they take their full 50%. So.
Sure.
After we made the changes, did you see a lot more traffic as far as questions and inquiries coming through your office after and before the new deadline and all the other things?
Commissioner Olson, yeah, there was a fair number of questions. I'll be honest with you, it's hard to remember if that was before or after the change where you allowed two choices or two applications in. But yes, there was confusion out there. It probably, in the end, was less than I was anticipating. So I would say a lot of the questions came from non-residents, especially after we hit that first deadline. I would say definitely we had more questions from non-residents at that point about when they can apply. Questions about their archery deer, where that's good for, and stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
When you get a paper application in the mail, which I'm sure are fewer and fewer as the years go by, do you digitize those and then input them into the drawer? How does that work?
Commissioner Olson, we take that paper application and we manually put that in, and then that paper application is stored along with a unique identifying number so we can locate it if we need to.
Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. In the far northwest part of the state in Harding County, I believe it's 8 elk licenses are issued.
Okay.
Touch on that a little bit with preference points and how that's working on such a small amount of licenses.
So, Commissioner Locken, you know, there's 35, or that Custer National Forest unit, prairie unit, for elk. There is a lot of demand for that unit. Again, it's broke down into that 50% are set aside with landowner preference, and then 30% go to 10 or more, so on, so forth. Because we are cubing those preference points, most of those tags are going, the non-landowner tags are going to people with the highest number of preference points for the most part. But again, it's a small number of tags available, fairly high demand. So.
Secretary Hepler.
So that photograph you had from the newspaper clipping from back in 1968, was Scott Lindgren in that photograph?
So, Sean, what you just described then is really what was advertised when we made the change that we made. We reached the goal that we told we were going to be reaching. Is it true? I just want to make sure that that's true. I think it's true, but...
Chairman Jensen, that is my understanding, yes.
And is there any way to determine, I mean, what was the financial impact of the change, if any, to the department?
So when you're talking about financial impact, are you talking about the change to the draw structure itself?
Well, in terms of licenses issued, I mean, there were less non-residents, right? And so I'm
correct.
Just assuming that there must be some ultimate financial impact, probably a loss. I don't know, but.
So the, yes, Commissioner, or Chairman Jensen, the ultimate would be a loss. We sold the same number of tags, basically, in 19 as we did in 18. Your loss would occur for those tags that were could have been sold to non-residents in the old system.
Right.
They could have come in and picked them up at this time in draw four, and you held them off until draw five. And so that slide that I had right there would probably be close to what your financial impact would be, where you've got about 200 fewer licenses for East River deer. Those would almost exclusively be antlerless tags, and so that would either be most of those would be $80. You'd have some that might be $120, but you could, if you wanted to do your case scenario, just look at the $80 one. The West River one, you're looking at 260 tags. Some of those would have been probably some buck tags at $286 a piece instead of $40. But the majority of those would have been for antlerless tags also.
Well, you know, there are some that think that whatever we do is based on money and where we can get the most money. And I mean, one of the points is, right, this, yeah. That's not so. I mean, we did what we did here, and that was a financial loss, if you will, to the department.
Commissioner Chair, or Chairman Jensen, that is correct, yes.
So what would happen if we cubed everything again? Tony could do those calculations for us.
That's bad.
I mean, how would that?
So
I still don't get the cubing, but you know, I only took math for a week and then I quit. So,
Chairman Jensen, which power would you like to take them to? Because at some point, basically, what you're doing then is turning it into a true preference system, where you are taking the top person and working down the list. And so, if you go much over cubing, a true preference system would be the next logical step, in my mind.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back in a bit.